My first guest is on the line. His name is Simphiwe Mlota, and he is doing something quite inexplicable, I would say. He is on a journey. He is converting to Judaism, and you've got to wonder, under the current circumstances, why on earth somebody would do something like that in times like these. I'm really looking forward to this discussion. Simphiwe Mlota, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
No, thank you for having me.
As I said, Simphiwe, they've got to be easier things to do than choosing the path that you have chosen. Just give us the picture. Who are you? Why did you get to this point in your life? I'm fascinated.
I've actually finished converting. I finished converting last year around this time. Yeah, 6th of March, 6th of Adar. And the reason why I went on this journey is because I believe it's the truth.
Simphiwe, tell me more. Tell me more. Where were you born? To what culture? What were you supposed to have believed in?
So I'm Zulu. I was born in Geloni. My family's Christian. We practice Christian beliefs. That's my upbringing.
And what makes you decide then, I found the truth? What makes you do that?
So essentially what happened was I was, on YouTube, right, they keep saying the world is ending. Every single year you go on YouTube and someone is saying the world is ending. So what happened was I decided to look into it because this in 2014-15, the moons were turning red. They were blood moons. And I remember the verse in the book of Joel. I think it's Joel chapter 2. It says, in the last days, the moon will turn red. So I thought, okay, maybe these guys are actually onto something this time. So I did some digging, and it turns out, I found out then that it actually was turning red on the Chagim, the Jewish holidays. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided I actually needed, you can Google it. That's when I decided I actually need to investigate what's going on and why would it turn red on those days. So I think about four times it turned red, and that's more than just a coincidence. And that's what pushed me to learn Judaism and get to the point where I'm at.
What kind of association had you had with Jews prior to that moment, or the Jewish community for that matter?
Zero. To be honest with you, zero connection. I knew they were in Joburg. Johannesburg. I just didn't know. Where about in Johannesburg?
Simphiwe. Crazy story. What preconceived ideas did you have of Jews at that time?
Not much, to be honest with you. Just the regular propaganda that Jewish people own the world, Jewish people are rich, all these things that you hear. That's the only thing I knew. But once I actually started listening to the literature and listening to rabbis, then I was like, okay, I actually like the philosophy around around Judaism. So I didn't know any Jews. I had no Jewish friends. I didn't know exactly where they were. I just knew they were in Joburg somewhere. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I was looking for tzitzit. So I was at Eastgate in Germiston, and I was looking for tzitzit, and the guy was like, "You have to go to Norwood," and that's how I started getting closer to
you.
The
found
Jewish
out
community.
Where they lived, did you? That's a good place to start.
Yes, I did.
Norwood is definitely a good place to start. I'm surprised they didn't say Glen Hazel. Your family, I mean, what did they think was happening to you? Was there support for your decision? Was there antagonism? Tell me about the family response.
So surprisingly, not surprising to me, but surprising to what I started hearing, you know, and what I started learning about other people's journeys. So with me, my family was very supportive, very much supportive, to the point that on the day of, you know, the Beth Din, they test you.
Yeah.
They test you. Yeah. They came and they sat there and they listened to the whole thing. They were very supportive. To this day, they're very supportive. So I'm very blessed for that.
I'm just so astounded, you know. Had we been having this conversation before the 7th of October, 2023, I kind of maybe could understand why it is that you've chosen to do what you have. But to, I mean, you've seen the extent to which the hate has just out of the genie's out of the box. I mean, it's insane. We're probably the most loathed minority on the planet right now, and you willingly choose to say, I want to be part of this. It's just so bizarre for me to understand that.
To be honest with you, in my soul, the pain of not being Jewish, not being a part of this truth, you know, whenever I read the Bible, the Tanakh now, it, not being a part of that, it just hurt me more than what I was seeing was happening to the Jews around the world.
Tell me about the actual conversion process. How rigorous was it? How difficult was it for you?
So for me, I took quite some time because I didn't exactly know how to convert to Judaism. So essentially in the beginning, I just thought it was like Christianity and Islam. I thought you just believe and then that's what you become. That's what you are.
Yeah.
Until when I found out where they are, where they stay. So I was at Moishe's the one time.
Yes.
When I was at Moishe's, that's the butcher, the butcher guy, he told me, he's like, no, you have to convert. And he gave me a number. And that's how I came to convert. But before that, so from 2014, 15, and then I finished the conversion process last year in March.
How did that
feel? It's a very rigorous process. There's a lot of learning to do.
What about the process did you find most challenging?
Learning the laws of Shabbat. There's so many of them. That was the most challenging for me.
I would imagine, I mean, I'm just thinking about that. It never even occurred to me that one, you know, I'm lucky enough to have been born Jewish. I've never had to look at it from an outsider's perspective. So I've never, you know, it's just given on a plate. I've never had to fight for it in any manner, shape or form. Was there a point at which you thought this is just too difficult? It isn't worth the result?
There were many points, to be honest with you. For example, this the one I'm giving you now about the learning. There's so much learning you have to do, and on the day they don't exactly like tell you what they're gonna ask you. Like it's random questions, and you just have to have them at the top of your head. Were there any points where I really thought it might not be worth it? There were a lot of points. There was one time I was in Benoni, and I hadn't yet. I wasn't yet affiliated or close to the Jewish community, but this one guy was like, yes, they're going to circumcise you. And if they don't circumcise you, they're going to draw some blood. At that point, I was like, how can this be, you know? If there was a point I could have turned around, it was.
And Rano, it's interesting because I was thinking in the back of my mind, I was thinking that's the one thing I thought Zulu guys wouldn't have to go through. I thought that had happened already.
It kind of did happen. So when that's what I'm saying, when he said draw blood, I'm like, draw blood? What do you
There's
mean?
There's nothing,
you
know? Left. That's really, really, really interesting. And then listen, I've got to touch on the racial issue just because it's glaring. I mean, I hate the fact that we are as homogeneous a community as we are. But realistically, I mean, we're just like 98% Lithuanian white Jews. And I wish we were more diverse, but we're not. We've got a sprinkling of Sephardi Jews from North Africa who came down via Rhodes and Zaire or wherever it was. But, I mean, blacks, you don't see too many black Jews. You just don't. How have you been received by the wider Jewish community?
To be honest with you, I would say I've been received with open arms. I actually just come from Israel. And normally, you do get that odd look, but it's normally from, the kids. But and they also they just wondering, like, you know, like I don't think they've seen a person of my skin tone who's Jewish wearing tzitzit and kippah. So from them, that's where I normally get the look. But I'm not really offended because I understand where it comes from. But I've been received with open arms, to be honest with you. I've received lovingly, so to say.
Very glad to hear that, because it wasn't necessarily the answer I was going to get. So it's interesting because you've let me know that visibly you present as Jewish now. You are wearing tzitzit. You do wear a yarmulke. Have you been received by the black community?
Normally the black community hasn't been. They're okay with it. They don't mind it. I don't know how to express it.
Do you know,
it's just like one of those things.
Just like, it's a very different thing, let's be honest. It's just not an everyday thing. What was fascinating, I remember a couple of years ago, there was an analysis done within the black community of attitudes towards Jews. And I think one of the most fascinating responses from that survey was that there aren't any. That basically, in the broader black community, there aren't preconceived ideas about Jews. Probably because we just live separately to a very large extent because of historical reasons. But it seems to me that the anti-Semitism that is embedded in so many Western societies and Middle Eastern societies just hasn't found a foothold here yet, thank goodness. I'm just interested in your view on that.
Yes, I actually think we're blessed to have a, well, to be honest with you, I just think, generally speaking, black people are not violent people, so to say. We don't bear grudges. I mean, a lot of people thought after 94, there would be a war or some sort of taking to the streets or some violence, but none of that happened, you know. So I just think it's the nature of our people that they don't have that grudge-bearing nature.
And tell me, just you said your family was supportive and all that, but I mean, it becomes an issue now because you can't go to your mom's house and eat a meal. How do they deal with the kashrut and all the limitations that come with observing the mitzvot?
So like during the time I was living at home and learning, I would also like teach them. So what would happen was when I would learn something, I would go to my mom and say, "Hey, mom, I just learned this. I just learned this. It's so cool. I just learned this." And she would be very receptive and she just understood and she just let me be. So as time went by, they just got used to that fact, and they're not really offended when I get there, and I don't eat with them or anything like that.
I just want to read you some responses that are coming in from our listeners as we are speaking, you and I. Austin weighing in said, "Hi, Simon, I can so relate to what this young man is saying. Mazal tov to him." That is from Austin. Ronnie's weighing in this afternoon and says, "Yo, what a fascinating story." And Gail E. says, "Gosh, I honor this man to learn so fast and that he can cope with the process." So support coming through for you and the decisions that you've made here this afternoon. I still think you're a very brave man. You know, the thing about Judaism is you don't have to be Jewish. You can observe the Noahide laws and go on and continue living your life without that obligation. Why did you feel the need to make the complete step, I mean, to make the full conversion?
To be honest with you, I personally didn't feel complete without completing the process. I just couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself being any other thing, especially after tasting. You know, I think it was David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech, he said the Torah is sweet. It's very sweet. So once you hear it, it's like, I hear it and I want more of it. I want to be a part of this. Hashem's special nation. Hashem says he loves his nation so much, you know. And he also loves the land of Israel a lot. He watches Israel from, you know, throughout the year. You know, he's looking at it with a magnifying glass, so to speak. When all the other nations, it's like, you know, whether they're there or they're not there, it's not really, it's neither here nor there. But so for me, I just really had to be a part of this. I could not see myself living or continuing to live the way I was living. And I'm blessed. To be honest with you, I've converted, since I've been a part of the community, I'm so blessed. Every day, I sometimes just wake up and I'm like, I can't believe I'm Jewish. You know, I really understand in the Chachamim, they said, if you knew what it meant to be Jewish, you'd be out on the streets celebrating. So for me, sometimes I think about it and I'm like, I can't believe, because it took so much work, so much time, you know, so much effort, and you're finally there, and it's like, I can finally breathe out, I can relax, you know.
Simpiwe, what's your Hebrew name?
Nachshon.
Nachshon, what does Nachshon translate to? I've got no idea.
Nachshon. So basically, I was listening to a shiur because I was wondering what name would I choose, because there's so many names out there. And I heard a rav, he was speaking and he said, Nachshon, one of the root words of Nachshon is Nahush, which means determined. So one of the things I knew that I needed to, in order to be Jewish, was to be determined.
Wow, what a discussion this afternoon. Simpiwe Mlota, Nachshon, Toda Rabah. Thank you so much for chatting to me. I've got a feeling that we'll be chatting again, but really appreciate your time here on Chai FM this afternoon.